weeks for first Sunday and then my being in Big Bend last Sunday. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We'll read that in just a moment. How many of you have ever heard of Father Edward Flanagan? A few of you have. Okay. He was an Irish priest who had a heart for orphans. In 1917, he founded a small home for homeless boys that has grown now into an organization that helps over 400,000 children every year. And this organization is Boys Town. Well, actually, now it's Boys and Girls Town, but originally it was Boys Town. In the 1940s, Father Flanagan was struck when he saw a photograph, an image of a boy carrying another boy on his back. This image was the inspiration for the Boys Town logo. And it was accompanied by a striking caption. I know that most of you won't have any idea what that caption was, but you might be familiar with a song that it inspired, which was a hit for a band called The Hollies in 1969, and for many other bands who have covered it since then. And we'll play a short clip of it now for you to hear. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. This song has become somewhat of an anthem through the years for those who have loved a brother through difficult times, or maybe a close friend who they have loved like a brother. It's a song about selflessly loving, giving and caring for another. The road is long, but I'm strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness. That everyone's heart isn't filled with gladness of love for one another. 1969. It's a little bit before my time, but by common grace, what this song has promoted in the secular music world has grasped a wonderful truth that is laid out before us more fully in its truth in God's Word. We'll be looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11 this evening. This is God's holy, inspired, infallible word for you. Give it now your full attention as it is read. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. As far God's word. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray now that you add your blessing to the reading and preaching of your word. May you be honored and glorified. May you be with us by your Spirit, the same Spirit who inspired this word, to apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 John 2, 7 through 11, Christ calls you to live in his light with full assurance by loving your Christian brothers and sisters. This unfolds in our text as we will see first the law of love, then the darkness of hate, and finally the light of love. In verse 1, John began by addressing you as dear children, chapter 2, verse 1. And now he addresses you here in verse 7 as beloved. Those who are loved. Yes, by the Apostle John, but more importantly, you are loved by God. The love, this love, is part of who you are and a fundamental part of your relationship with God. He loves you. He loves you perfectly and without reservation. He wants only the best for you and is working in your life to bring that to pass for you. It is his love for you that calls you and enables you to love one another. What John is writing is nothing new, he says. These are truths that were taught under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament. For instance, Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." However, there is also a newness to this commandment in Christ, even as Jesus taught this as a new commandment, saying in John 13, 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The extent and focus of this love is new in Christ. Jesus adds a profound emphasis on the command for his people to love one another, in addition to that love extending to neighbors, to Gentiles and sinners. Jesus made the love of God manifest to you in his life, his death, his resurrection from the dead, and his ascension in power. And John says here, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Christ's love for you is complete in his completed work of salvation for you. This new commandment is true in Christ and it is true in you because of his finished work applied to you in the power of the Spirit. You are being transformed into the image of Christ. You are being made to walk as he walked. Your soul has been freed from the bondage of darkness. And in Christ, you have the light of life. Jesus says that all people will know you are his disciple if you have love for one another. Love for the brethren is evidence that you possess and have been possessed by the love of God in Christ. And now John moves from the law of love to the darkness of hate in verse 9. John chooses to begin with the negative consequence of this command. Up to this point, John has provided four scenarios that prove a profession to be false. In chapter 1, verse 7, he said, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." And verse 8, he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, he said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And then in chapter 2, verse 4, he said, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Now he has a fifth statement to his list. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. If you claim to be in Christ, to be in the light, and you hate your brother in Christ, that shows that you are not walking in the light, but are still in darkness. You cannot be in Christ while hating your brothers and your sisters in Christ. You cannot be in fellowship with him while at the same time breaking fellowship with his people. Your heart is the source of your emotions, your actions, your life. If you are filled with hatred towards your brother, it is because your heart is filled with hatred. It remains in darkness. Love is key to the Christian life, and false professors lack true love. Though they may go through the motions outwardly, without a heart transformed by the love of Christ, they have nothing. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. John repeats his statement and expands on it further in verse 11. He says, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Here John uses the designation darkness three times to refer to the man who hates his brother. If you hate your brother, you are in the darkness. You walk in the darkness. And John says the darkness has blinded your eyes. Recall several statements Jesus made in the Gospel of John regarding light and darkness. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He also said, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. He said, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus is the light, and he has come to call you out of darkness into his light. If you hate those for whom Christ died, then you hate Christ. You cannot separate Christ from his people, because there is an unbreakable bond by which he is united to them by his Spirit. If you hate your brother, you hate one who walks in the light, and you are setting yourself up against the light. You are aligning yourself with the darkness. Recall what Jesus says about those who hate his disciples. He says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. Jesus says more about those who hate his people in John 15. These things I command you so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. What is completely absent from Scripture is any allowance for one believer hating another believer. Christians are not to hate Christians. Jesus' response in Matthew 24, verses 10 through 12, to what the sign of his return and the close of this age, he says, is that then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. It is no surprise to Christ, and it should be no surprise to you when you find yourself hated by those in the world. They hate Christ, and so they hate you because you are His people. You should expect to experience persecution for your faith. However, what hurts the most is when you come under fire from a professing Christian. This friendly fire is most often the work of the enemy's spies, sent into the body of Christ to tear her apart. At times, true believers will sin against one another. This sin will cause anger and can result in mutual bitterness and hard feelings. However, true Christians always seek true reconciliation in Christ. There is nothing that should keep true believers from true loving fellowship in Christ. However, there are many who masquerade as Christians but are sons of darkness, and John is addressing them here. Those false teachers who have brought destruction into the church. And one way in which their true identity is revealed is through their hate. They are blind, John says. They do not have the light. Rather, they are part of the forces of darkness that attack the body of Christ. They are in the darkness of hate, far removed from the light of love. Christians are not to be people characterized by hatred. You are to love your brothers, but you are also to love your enemies. Jesus said in Matthew 5, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You hate sin and you strive to put it to death in your life. You see the effects of sin all around you in the lives of your loved ones, in your relationships, and you are grieved by the destruction it brings. However, you must not hate sinners. You are called to love your enemies, and especially to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are called to reflect the love poured out on you in Christ to those in your life. In verse 10, John says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Here we see the light of love. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. This is the social test for true Christian faith. Not only do you need to walk in the light with regard to your obedience to God's law, your moral life, which is what we looked at in verses 1 through 6, but you also must walk in the light as you live as a member of the family of God, the body of Christ, the communion of the saints. Christians love other Christians. Notice there are no exceptions given here. It is the sons of darkness that hate, not those that are in the light of Christ. It is those who have gone out from us, he says later, that hate. However, we are not to hate. There are all kinds of disagreements that arise among believers. For instance, you will disagree about how to raise your children, what music to listen to, preferences in worship style, how to educate your children, what television shows and movies you feel are appropriate, what manner of dress you feel is appropriate, your political opinions, your opinions on certain doctrines and interpretations of Scripture. You will disagree on all sorts of things with other Christians. Each of us has our own opinions on many different things, and some of us are more opinionated than others. There is no shortage of opportunities for conflict in the body of Christ. For you as Christians, conflict is an opportunity for you to live out the gospel with one another. To show grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love, to be long-suffering with one another, to be committed to working through your problems in a way that honors and glorifies God and builds up the body of Christ. The world's way is to cut and run, to hate, resent, and slander from a distance. Like John will say, they go out from us, but we do not. We do not go out from us. We stay and do the hard work of the Christian life. It is the unbelieving world that hates, that stabs in the back, that seeks to devour everything in its path. The world hates, but Christians are to love. The world points the finger at everyone else, but you are to point the finger at yourself. To see how you have failed in any given situation, to search your own heart, and then to seek reconciliation. Your life as a Christian is lived out in community. How important is this community to you? When you consider all of the relationships in your life, how does your church family factor in? How does your church family measure up to everything else in your life? John says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. John Stott writes about this, our love and hatred not only reveal whether we are in the light or in the darkness, but actually contribute towards the light or the darkness in which we already are. Boyce comments further on that, the one who walks in the light has more light day by day. The one who walks in the darkness is increasingly darkened. As you examine your own heart, do you find cause for stumbling? Are you harboring ill will toward your brother? If so, that will lead to stumbling, both in your own life, and consequently you will become a stumbling block to others. Is there someone that has really pushed your buttons? Is there someone that has really gotten on your nerves, that you feel has wronged you, has sinned against you? Have you allowed yourself then to hate that person? Do you want something bad to happen to them? Do you wish ill for them? Hate is a cancer that eats away at your life. You cannot keep it locked away. It will eventually consume you. Love is hard. It is costly. To love is to sacrifice. It is to give. It is to make yourself vulnerable. It requires humility. And it invites pain and sorrow. It often goes against what your flesh yearns for. And it calls upon you to die to yourself. Paul says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These are difficult things and are impossible apart from the love of Christ in your heart. Francis Schaeffer writes, we must all continually acknowledge that we do not practice the forgiving heart as we should. And yet the prayer is, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. We are to have a forgiving spirit even before the other person expresses regret for his wrong. The Lord's Prayer does not suggest that when the other man is sorry, then we are to show a oneness by having a forgiving spirit. Rather, we are called upon to have a forgiving spirit without the other man having made the first step. We may still say that he is wrong, But in the midst of saying that he is wrong, we must be forgiving. Just because somebody is guilty of sin against you does not then give you a right to have a heart filled with hatred. Impatience, unkindness, envy, boasting, arrogance, rudeness, selfishness, irritability, resentment, rejoicing at wrongdoing are all antithetical to love. They're all opposite to love. These are characteristics of those who walk in darkness. And as you allow these things to exist in your life, you will suffer. And the entire body will suffer with you. But by God's grace, as you resist the temptations of your flesh to hate, to resent, to tear down, and instead you love with generosity and kindness and forgiveness and mercy, you become a means of grace to the body of Christ. As you live out the gospel of grace to your brother, you are serving as a tool in the hand of the Holy Spirit to build up the body. As you see yourself abiding in love for your brother, your assurance that you are loved by God will be strengthened. Christ calls you to live in His light with full assurance by loving your Christian brothers and sisters. If you have hatred within you, repent and be reconciled to your brother or sister. If you have been holding on to resentment, let it go. If you have allowed bitterness to take root in your heart, rip it out and put it away from you. Allow the grace and mercy of God to bring healing and restoration to your injured heart as it is renewed in His love. Make your heart useful to the body of Christ. Seek reconciliation. Make a commitment to put hatred away and instead to grow in love for your brothers and sisters. Your love needs to be expressed in loving actions, a lifestyle characterized here as abiding in the light. The love in your heart will be evidenced in loving relationships where you seek the other's best interest over your own. When your desire is to bless, to build up, to edify, and to encourage, your relationships will not be characterized by what you get out of the other person, but rather what you pour into them. Even if you get nothing out of the relationship, you are willing to carry the burden because he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Just as Christ has carried you every step of the way, and no one can snatch you away from His loving grasp. May the love of Christ that has transformed your heart redefine how you live in communion with one another. To know the God who is love is to live a life characterized by His love. We'll get to this in chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Apart from the work of your Spirit in our hearts, these things would be impossible. And we need your grace to live as your people. We pray that you do fill us with love for one another, that you help us to put hatred away from our hearts. Even though we are tempted through our daily skirmishes with one another to hate, to resent, to be bitter, to be irritable with one another, instead, Father, fill us with love. Fill us with a desire to put the interests of others over our own, for us to decrease and for Christ and us to increase. May we honor and glorify you as your children living together in your family. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to hymn number 300.